this I've worked out how to do the editing of shots is I might be thinking one shot's live and it's not. So if it feels like it should be, then do point it out, boys. I'm not proud. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all of the big goings on in Apple. We haven't been here, of course, because we missed the keynote last week because I was away on holiday in France. Having a great time near the gaff where James lives but isn't there, which was lovely. I looked at his empty house. It was nice. And so we've got loads to talk about from the keynote. And, of course, everything got delivered, didn't it, this week? So new iPads are out there and pencils are out there and all kind of stuff. We've had a couple of emails from people and we've had a couple of comments on Twitter that we need to address, apparently. I've been instructed effectively to address it by Nishi's Taxi. So joining me, a panel that are not afraid of getting into a stern debate, I'm sure. Starting us off, top left, Will Green.
Hello, chap. Yes, I'm here.
Well, yes, you are, but you're back in witness protection.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, sorry about that. But as I've said, my voice has been sort of, I'm not really here. You killed me about, 6 months ago, and this is all AI, pretty much. But you wouldn't tell, would you?
No, because I didn't do a very good job on the AI, because you've done a British Mac since. the real Will Green would never have done a British Mac.
You know, like Paul McCartney, the rumours about him during the Beatles, that he was dead. And,
that's right, the Black Mariah in Abbey Road.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, that's me. But I like to think I'm still here. I don't know, we might be all in a dream. Who can tell?
I think that's a famous quote. I like to think I'm still here, therefore I am. No? Is that on it? I've caught it that wrong. No?
I don't know. I'm in my crappy bedsit and it's bloody freezing.
All right, mate. Do you want a portable heater? Because I've got one you can have, a blower, like a hot air blower.
Oh, I've got the radiator.
They're
on.
Very efficient.
But it's, you know, I need to earn £1 million because where I'm living, it smells of cat piss and it's cold. Other than that, it's brilliant. I love it.
Have you bought a cat and forgotten about it?
This random cat keeps coming in and pissing everywhere. And
well, at least you found the source of the cat piss smell then. Yeah, that's good.
But yeah, it's good. It's miserable. You know, onwards and upwards.
Okay, mate. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
I feel bad now. Deep Pan says, I'd expect the lighting to have been better if it was truly AI.
Well, he can bugger off, can't he?
Fair point. Next to him, our new regular on the Mac Show, taking over from Adam Christensen, who's no longer with us. He's lost a bit of weight, but that doesn't mean he's dead. He's doing a project for someone, and he can't come on for a while. So, joining us, mate, this is the show you should always have been on, Jeffrey Gamet.
I know, but my schedule. It was really hard to make that work.
Yeah, so when you wrote for the Mac Observer and were immersed in Mac news, you couldn't come on the show, and now you're not with the Mac Observer anymore. You got loads of time. Well, tell us what you've done then. What's happened?
So I now work for Smile. I am their text expander evangelist, which seems like a totally reasonable thing for me to do because I've been a text expander fan for years. So why not become the face of the product?
Right, absolutely. And an evangelist, that's a bullshit job, isn't it? That's go everywhere, do everything, smile, press the flesh, give loads of copies away free of charge to journalists and go, yeah, it's ace. I might be boiling it down a bit. Jesus, Will.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
No, not at all. Will, can you blow your nose on mute, please, mate? There's a good chat.
It's not all about you,
mate.
What?
Ways to Get Attention by Will Green.
You need to work on his AI algorithms.
Yeah, exactly. If I'd have programmed it, he'd have said, excuse me, at least afterwards. Sorry, Jeff, you were saying, I said it's a bullshit job, and you said, yes, it is.
It's pretty kick-ass already.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been with Smile for, what's today, Thursday, 4 days now. And
you're still in your PJs from Monday.
Well, it's, I really like the dress code. Let's just say that.
Awesome, mate. Awesome.
Yeah, it's great. I'm loving it.
Superb, mate. Glad to have you here. Next to him, James Rickards. Your house is safe, dude. Sure. I saw it. I sent you a picture. It was all boarded up. It's all good.
Boarded up in a good way, not like English outs.
I tell you what, it rains a lot where you live in France.
It's got what they call the microclimate. So what tends to happen is where it's kind of sandwiched in between the hot and the cold, if you like, from the cold from the north and the warm from the south. So it does have its really own very, very unique climate. I'll give it that much. But it certainly is more sun than rain.
I thought you were going to say, when it's a microclimate, there was a cloud that follows me around the world.
I think going in October is... I think when Will come to see me last year, this time last year, me and Will were in Rome, funny enough.
That's right, yeah.
When I left to go to Rome, we were having a new roof put on the house out in the garden. So it was nice enough to take the roof off, which is obviously interesting. But I remember getting back thinking, yeah, it's time to put a coat on now. So yeah, October, you know, good first few weeks, but not so great as it gets towards the end of that.
We're going back in February. You said it's cold then.
Yeah, mate, it is. I mean, it can be, what can I say, a year and a half sort of being there, but it can get, well, we've seen -6 at one point, which is frightfully cold. But, you know... Put the fire on, mate. It's all good.
Now, the lady we stayed with, Cass, said that their swimming pool, not the temperature outside the swimming pool, the temperature in the water was 30 degrees last year.
No, yeah.
That's boiling frogs, isn't it? I mean, it's Jesus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. God, absolutely. It's why some people buy, like hot tubs, like inflatable. Like, Cass's got an inflatable hot tub, which he probably hid from you. And what they tend to do is have one of those at a slightly cooler temperature.
My kids went swimming in her pool.
I saw the photograph.
The pool was 10 degrees, and they decided they were going to go swimming one afternoon because the sun came out. And Bryony was messing around trying to get in, and in the end, Ellis pushed her in because he was so sick and tired of her, and that wasn't a good move. That didn't go well at all. So then I'm probably going to get a call from social services. Because I forced Ellis to jump in the pool afterwards of his own volition because he'd pushed his sister in.
Oh, bloody hell.
And the pair of them were... Ellis came out and his skin had just gone... It was like it had burst from all the temperature. It just like blushed red all over. It was cool.
Yeah, it's something I wouldn't recommend. I still couldn't believe you didn't video it. But there you go.
I got pictures. I got pictures. That's good.
Yes, yeah, so, but yeah, it's very nice to be back on. It feels like it's been a long time. I don't know why. Maybe we're saying it a couple of weeks, but nice to be here. Everything's good. Good. Technology's all working. My 2018 MacBook is absolutely fantastic. I'm having a joyous time with it.
Next to him, a man who looks like he's about to use an overhead projector. I had a flashback there, pulling some acetate up there, and you were going to give us a demonstration and explain the safety brief.
How are you doing?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Well, I can't complain other than the fact that like I said, my technology was all wonk this morning for some damned reason, but everything's somewhat working now, even though I had to go back to wired headset. And anyway, yeah, I've got it's actually like a $10 piece of junk adapter. Chinese adapter, USB-C. It's supposed to charge and give you Ethernet and all sorts of good stuff. And let's just say it's not working anymore.
You know, it's not plugged in, right?
Well, not anymore. It isn't.
Okay, right. It was at the time.
It was at the time, and it wasn't charging my. Yeah. So anyway, life is good.
Good. Glad to have you back, mate. Excellent. Superb. This is your third week in a row now, isn't it, after about a two-year absence?
I think so, yeah.
See, I did it there. I thought Steve was on the main shot, and he wasn't. It was... So, I'm going to get used to it, but you won't see me editing anymore. Oh. That's the key. I may have the wrong shot up, but you won't see me editing anymore. That's the long and the short of it. First things first, Apple had a keynote, new iPads, new Mac Mini, which isn't very mini anymore apart from the size, and new Pencil, and everyone got their X, their 10R. Muller's got his 10R. Hang on, let's show a picture of that. Where's the shot? I can't find the shot. There we go. There's the shot. There's his 10R. His plasticky-looking red R, which is not because it's made of glass. But it's that cherry red. It is Mark Knopfler's cherry red strap, I'm telling you.
Is it beautiful?
It is beautiful, yeah. It's a lovely, luscious, deep red colour. And he's put a condom.
Yeah, the red is really nice.
Yeah, he's put a condom on it. But there you go. It is. It's like a cherry. It's like a cherry red Stratocaster. It is. It's that colour. It's perfect. There you go. It's beautiful. It is a thing of a work of art, most definitely. I didn't change the shot. There we go. That was an idiot move. Hang on, Muller, do it again. I'm a dick. There we go.
You're admitting it.
I'll get used to it. This is only day one, fellas. Give me a break.
Lovely, yeah. That looks good. Yeah.
I've only had Wirecast for 4 years. This is the first time I've managed to do it. And there you go. It is beautiful. It is a gorgeous thing of beauty. But we can't get away from the fact, and we've had an instruction here from Nish, who said we have to talk about this. So we started the show formally already. MacBook Air has gone from £999 to £1,199. That's a 20% surge. Mac Mini has gone from £499 to £799. That's a 60% increase. iPad Pro has gone from 10.5 at £649 to £799. That's a 23% increase. And the iPad Pro has gone from $799 to $999, and that's a 25% increase. And very few people are impressed by this, it would seem. And I'm not either, really.
My, if I could get my jump in first, I guess. I think my biggest sort of thing is where is this MacBook Air supposed to be in this lineup? Because if you, and I've heard other people mention this as well, so I'm kind of jumping the bandwagon, but I don't care. If you compare the 13-inch MacBook, which is a 2.3 i5 processor, against the new MacBook 1.6 dual core, it's £50 extra. You'd have to love that MacBook Air, and I mean love it, to choose that over the 13-inch current MacBook Pro.
And what is it? It's 4 micrograms heavier or lighter.
Honestly, Ewan, I mean, I don't care. If I was working at Apple now, as I used to, as you guys know I used to, I would be saying to people, yes, MacBook Air is very thin. It looks very light. It's our newest MacBook, but by God, let me give you £50 and get you a better computer to put into your backpack. Honestly, it's that pricing it just seems so ridiculous. You know, if there was a few more £100 in it, then maybe you could recommend the MacBook Air, but I'm struggling here, you know, as thinking of as an employee trying to sell the new MacBook Air to customers who are walking through a door. I don't know. I just think it's a tough ask when £50 gets you so much more of a better machine.
They've not done anything with the processor or anything like that that makes it swing a ding better effectively in benchmark terms. It's just, it's a lower processor.
Yeah. So it's running, obviously Turbo Boost 3.6, Turbo Boost on the thing. It also says it's the same, but I think, personally, that the 13-inch MacBook is such a better machine over that MacBook Air. Totally. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're right. No one's disagreed, I don't think. Jeff, you were coming in there?
I was trying to come up with a good argument against, just to have an argument. But, yeah, I'm feeling like the new MacBook Air is a really nice looking machine, and that's what's going to sell it to some people, because they want that sleek, streamlined look, and they're not interested in the extra that they get from the MacBook. I agree. It's hard to see where this MacBook Air fits into Apple's product lineup.
Yeah. I've got some shots up here if anyone wants to carry on talking, but this is how thin it looks now. It's got nice USB-Cs on the side. Lightness strikes again is the heading on it. 4 million pixels, one brilliant debut. I mean, is the screen significantly better than the 13-inch or something like that?
It's a really nice screen. I looked at one yesterday, and
okay.
It looks really nice. I mean, there's definitely the Apple sexy factor going on with that machine.
Is there a thing here though as well though that if you've got that superb looking great screen, that's great. Well, that means you want to do more graphically and video wise, but you've got a smaller processor that's not going to let you do that. Or is there a bigger GPU that's going to be taking over from the CPU in terms of the grunt to power this screen, and we're missing that? I don't know.
What, you could use an external GPU with it.
No, that's not.
Yeah. But yeah, that's not portable when you do that.
No, I watched iJustine, God love her. The first thing she did was put Final Cut 10 on there, and she was already editing a video in it, and she seemed very surprised at what she was able to do with it. But bear in mind, if I looked at the timeline, she was actually editing. It probably had two layers of video, if that, and a separate audio track. So it wasn't anything too taxing when it comes to Final Cut 10 on it.
That's probably about all anyone with one of these would be doing. So that I suppose that could be a fair test. Although I think a better test would have been, how does it perform when you're doing a complex iMovie project? Because I think that's more likely what you'll see people doing on one of these, as far as video goes.
It's still a very beautiful computer, isn't it? I think we're all agreed on that.
No disagreements there.
I think it really does have a sort of a space in their lineup that is, you know, so incredibly light and thin and portable and everything else. And now it's, the specs are good. I don't know what there is to say against it. I'm okay, so maybe it's £200 more than the predecessor, but really it's still up there. It's, you know, still super fast and everything else. So I don't know. I'm not going to slag it off. The MacBook Air has always been, I used one as my main Mac for years, and I love it. I still love it.
I don't think it's a case of slagging it off, Will. What I think of it is the case is seeing the...
Don't give me that, Jim. You've been slagging it off.
You look at the price point. So if you walk into an Apple store and say, right, I've got £1,300 to spend on laptop, and somebody shows you the MacBook Air, then somebody shows you the MacBook Pro 13 side by side, I think for me personally, it's a bit of a no-brainer, the MacBook in their MacBook Pro 13. You know, lightness, I don't think, is coming into it at this point. Again, it's just a personal premise. I put myself in that seat all the time that, you know, and all you guys in this panel will know, people will come to you this time of year and start asking you, you know, what is the best Mac to buy for somebody's wife, somebody's kid going to uni, etc. And I still point at the 13-inch MacBook Pro, you know, because that price point is on point, if you like.
Yeah, it's a very expensive machine. I was just going to do a little kind of let's imagine I'm buying this for. But I don't want to do top spec because top spec's bullshit. But no, let's say because I'd want the other thing is that they've missed out a 1 terabyte drive on this. You've gone from 512 to 1.5, which is just why they're doing this at the moment. I don't know because it's bloody annoying. I wish Apple would stop. They've got to have incremental storage. They can't just keep shoving people to the lower end one. But that's £1,799 for a 512, 16 gig machine, which is what you'd need if you were going to do any kind of video processing, if you're going to manage it on that processor. And that's with the largest processor available on it. It's not good enough. It's not good enough, and it's not good enough for that price tag.
You know, the one question I keep asking about this entire MacBook Air, you know, being revived, so to speak, is why do you still have the MacBook? And yeah, maybe it's a, you know,
yeah,
But MacBook Air should be the entry level machine. MacBook Pro should be the high-end machine. And I just can't see where the
there's MacBook no progression. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
I think
that really muddies the waters.
It's when like when Steve Jobs came back to Apple, wasn't it? And he kind of looked at the product range and just went, okay, this is the quadrants you need for computers. And we're almost at a point at the moment where we're saturated with laptops because, we keep being told the future is mobile, which is why we've got all this kind of stuff being shown off at the moment. But I don't know. I pity the guys this Christmas in the Apple stores trying to make sense of all this with the customers walking through the door. I really do, because this is the time of year now where people are spending the money or will be spending the money. And it's just, I mean, it's great to have a new product because, when you're on the shop floor, and you're dealing with the same product day in, day out. It's lovely to have a new machine to show off and show people. That is great. You know, you've got Touch ID in there. You've got the new colors. It's going to brighten up the Apple Store no end. But I do think from a technical point, we start talking specs, if people still talk specs, that is, I do think it becomes a bit of a more difficult conversation with somebody.
Jim, I mean, I'll ask you the question. I mean, why buy a MacBook over a MacBook Air?
Good point.
Well,
it's six cores for a start, as apart from a dual core. It comes down to that whole question. Tell me what.
No, he said MacBook, not MacBook Pro. Did you say?
If somebody came in and they said, and you had to argue why buy a MacBook over a MacBook Air.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I'm just looking at the specs of the
MacBook. While James has a think, comments in the chat room. MacBook Air is the MacBook Pro Lite, says Windrider. Good point. Deeppan says, I can only think that the reason that the Air has come out is to mop up people who've got an old Air and are looking to just upgrade the form factor rather than worrying about changes in spec and where it sits in the product line. I was 99% sure that the Air would be product line would be killed off at this one, not take over and be expanded. It's got the same screen as the 2017 MacBook Pro, non-touch G-bar, touch bar. Last year's 13-inch touch bar free sells for £60 more than the slightly new spec'd Air. That's with 256 models, and it's a higher powered machine. Maybe the MacBook will get ARM processors and then come down in price. Who knows?
Yeah.
3 hours more battery with the MacBook as well. Me too, in terms of thinking the Air would be killed off, says Steve Sandy, who's on the show and could have said that anyway.
Hello.
James, have you come up with a reason or not?
I wouldn't tell anybody to buy the MacBook as it stands. I mean, it's $1,250, just £50 more. You could buy a 30-inch MacBook for that price. Unless it purely was the form factor that you loved, and I'll be honest with you, there are people in this world that go to an Apple store and they pick these things up, and it doesn't matter what's inside it, they'll buy it because it feels light or it looks nice. The colours always sell a MacBook, believe it or not.
Yeah.
You know, I know we're a bunch of tech heads and we love the tech that's inside it, but these, especially younger girls, maybe just going to start going to uni or looking to get presents for Christmas. They'll go on the colour because obviously that looks nice on Instagram, doesn't it? Having a nice coloured laptop. But I wouldn't, anybody listening who's looking at a MacBook, unless you really love that form factor, go for the MacBook Air if there's a choice between the two, because I'm looking at specs, 1.2 processor over the 1.6, with that 3.6 gigahertz. You know, you're getting a better computer for the MacBook Air than you are for the standard MacBook.
Next one to talk about then is the Mac Mini, and this might be the one that really kind of gets the pigeons fluttering. The Mac Mini is re-engined in no small way, says Apple. Oh, dear me. Massive price hike, 60% increase on the base model from $499 to $799, which just floors me in the thinking. Yes, okay, 6-core. An awful lot more RAM available, Thunderbolt 3 and USB-C compatibility. There's a lot of upgrading this. I have I don't have the same kind of trouble rationalizing this, the price increase based on the fact that this is a much, much bigger machine, I grant you, than the last one. But in my head, I've got to say, I think you've betrayed what the Mac Mini was supposed to do.
Yeah,
I agree.
Go ahead.
Okay. I think that Apple decided this time around to take the Mac Mini, which was this entry-level switcher machine, great second machine, like if developers need to have extra machines for testing, and turned it in to another stopgap leading up to the next Mac Pro, just like they did with the iMac Pro. And to create this mini Mac Pro, for lack of a better term right now, they had to bump up the price because of what they were throwing into it. So I'm glad to see what they've done with this new Mac Mini. But based on all the specs, I kind of feel like I would have been more impressed to see a Mac Mini like this 2 years ago as opposed to today.
Yeah.
What, with the same price tag?
I wish it was a lower price tag because of what the machine was supposed to be, or what Apple had been presenting it as. But I think they're changing the market for this machine.
Is there, in terms of thinking about the genesis of Apple as a computer, have Jesus Christ, Greeny.
Oh, what sorry.
I thought I muted it.
I've actually unmuted it. I'll mute it again. I got a cold.
I feel like a medieval knight with a herald right now.
Where's the sympathy for my cold? Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
We care. We love you. You're just a collection of code. You're AI. You said it yourself.
That's true enough. Yeah. So my AO self will
be nice, or I'll unwrite your bladder, and then you'll be in trouble, mate. the point being that I've utterly lost the point I was going to say. So no. So have we gone from the Mac Mini being the drug sale for OS X into the MacBook being the drug sale into OS X, which is still way, way more expensive? But I mean, my first ever Mac was a Mac Mini. I had a G3 Mac Mini, and that's what got me into spending thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds on Apple equipment thereafter. Where's the machine that gets people to go, oh, actually, this is a good OS compared to Windows 10 or whatever, or it's an OS that I can really get on with when I thought I was going to hate it, and actually I will buy loads more Macs? There is no computer now that does that anymore. It's all gone.
I know something you don't know.
Oh, God. Plenty, I hope, but go on.
They're bringing out, it is a rumor, but it's a pretty solid rumor, that Apple are bringing out a sort of own brand monitor next year in the spring that will go aside one of these Mac Minis. So if for the moment you're after a desktop Mac, it's a great option. And then in the spring you can couple it with a Mac branded a screen as well as the keyboard and mouse.
I don't see any reason for Apple to do screens.
They're doing it.
Where I heard that was coming from was from the new Mac Pro that they're still talking about. That they've said when the Mac Pro comes out, the modular one they keep banging on about, there will be a Apple screen that comes with that, or an option to buy the Mac screen when it comes with that.
Still don't see that.
No, it's been said. It's actually been said whether
Apple said that they're definitely making a new display, and it'll come out at the same time as the Mac Pro.
They definitely said that. I find that gobsmacking.
Yeah,
because I can't see that. I can't see that saying
the thing where they had like five bloggers and they laid out the plan for the new Mac Pro. What was that? A year or so ago. whenever that was, before the iMac Pro came out, they said, yep, we engineered ourselves into a corner, so we're starting over for the Mac Pro, and when it comes out, we're also releasing a new display. Yeah. And that came right from Phil Schiller.
So, I mean, if you're thinking about getting a Mac Mini, and you coupled it with one of these new Mac displays, I mean, pretty awesome, really, I would think.
It's pretty overpriced, I would think. And so many people are doing so many monitors that are so much better at a millionth of the price.
Yep.
Yeah, but it hasn't got the Kool-Aid, has it? It hasn't got the Apple symbol on the bottom of the monitor.
I don't think people are that bothered about that with monitors.
We haven't seen what Apple's actually going to do with it with their new display.
Oh, it'll be Siri enabled. Oh, you take my money. Take my money. 8K resolution with $8,000 price tag, says Steve Sandy. You know you're on this show and you can actually talk, right, Steve?
Really?
Yeah, no. No one's going to shut up for you. That's a different thing. Wow. But you just butt in, mate. You just carry on.
No, I can just see it having a ridiculous price tag. You know, the cinema displays were awesome when they back in the day, but I didn't see a lot of business customers really buying those. They would go out and buy a third-party monitor, and I think you're going to see the same thing most likely with the Mac Pro and with the Mac Mini.
But that was when there was
This is now.
But that was when there was shit monitors. Now there's no shit monitors. There's only good and better monitors.
Yeah.
And that's the difference, is that was a bloody good monitor in a sea of crap ones. There are no crap ones anymore. There are no shit monitors. And they start at 4K at £120.
Yeah.
Where on earth are you going to get... You need your head examining if you're going to buy an Apple monitor, unless it's got a coffee maker included on it or something like that.
you can get a cinema display, a big one, for about £50 on eBay these days.
And that's still going to be a horrifically brilliant monitor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, before the show started, I was actually saying that I've not been up in the office for quite some time, and I plugged into my 4K LG monitor. Now, this was the monitor that Apple brought out when everything went USB-C. And do you remember they did that little price, bump? They actually dropped the prices a little for a short while on the Apple website while everybody migrated to USB-C.
I remember.
Do you remember that? So I bought it then. So I think I saved about £200 off the price of this monitor. I think it's priced at about £650 now. So I plugged into it for the first time in a few weeks, I'll be honest with you. And I can't believe how beautiful the display is. The text is so crisp. And remember, I've got a 2018 MacBook Pro 15 I'm looking at on a day-to-day basis. So I've come upstairs and plugged into this, and I've forgotten how beautiful the screen is. It really is. Gorgeous. The text is just unbelievable. It looks like it's been printed onto the screen. So if Apple take this technology and do something even better with it, I can't really see how it gets much better than this. Probably the worst thing said in history, isn't it? But how does it get better than this? You know, I'm sure people said that over SVGA graphics at one point, but there you go.
And SCSI.
And SCSI. How does it get better?
But the thing is with the new display, I mean, obviously bound to buy the panel off somebody else, LG or Samsung or something else, but they will put their special mark on it, because although it's manufactured by somebody else, it's branded by them, and it's also built and designed to their specifications.
Yeah.
Yeah. The feed's frozen, Ewan, by the way.
The feed's frozen.
Yeah.
Is it true, everyone? Is it frozen for everyone? No, Wind Riders in Australia, mate, they still have to pedal to get internet.
I'm still seeing motion. I just see crap video.
No, all okay here.
Okay.
Yeah, and it looks okay to me.
Cool. So here's the thing, right? I've just gone through on the Mac Mini, and I've spec'd it up. And what I've done is I've tried to get as close to the spec as I can for my Mac Pro. Yeah?
Okay.
So I'm fully aware of the fact that I've got a 3.5 Intel Xeon 6-core processor in the Mac Pro, which I'm not going to get on this. But I can get a 3.2 gigahertz 6-core 8th generation Intel i7. Okay, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I've put 64 gig of RAM in it, which is what I've got in my Mac Pro, which I probably don't use half of, but okay. I can't do anything about the graphics card because I've got the AMD Fire Pro in, which is just blistering. So that's screwed. And I've got a 1 terabyte SSD in there, which is what I've got in my Mac Pro. And it's come out to $3,399. Now, that is a computer which is half the price of my Mac Pro. And it's not half the computer.
Well, you had to drop the eGPU on there, wouldn't you? Which would have to be another, what, 600 quid?
Yeah, so let's forget the GPU because I can't do that. But what I'm saying is this isn't half of my computer. And my Mac Pro is twice the price of this.
Yeah. See, they're taking this from an entry point computer and moving it up to the pro side of things.
It is.
I mean, this is another step towards the Mac Pro.
If you wanted a render farm or something like that, these are going to be fantastic for that.
Perfect for that.
If you want to do audio, this will chew it to pieces at a very low spec. It's a great computer. I'm not saying it's not. What bothers me is, where's the little great computer that got you into Apple? Do you not need it anymore?
I think that goes in your pocket. And I think right now it's called iPhone XR.
Right.
I think just nailed it. I think you've nailed it there, Jeff. I'm like you, and I started off the MacBook as well, the Mac Mini as well. It was the only computer I could afford that had an Apple badge on it. So like you, and I didn't want to spend a lot of money on it on my first Mac because I wasn't sure about the interface and how it was going to work for me. Within about two weeks, I was absolutely sold, and I bought a MacBook, a white MacBook, if I remember rightly. So yeah, I agree with you, Moon, the fact that we don't have a Mac OS computer at a reasonable price point now, that somebody who's toying with the idea of moving either their business or just for pleasure, moving over. I mean, it's quite sad, really, that £800 is now the norm. But then who'd have thought that £1,000 for an iPhone was going to be the norm?
£800 for a movie server.
Well, yeah, I mean, I remember downloading CoverFlow when CoverFlow wasn't bought by Apple. Yeah. It was made by that young guy, and the idea was you could put Plex on it and then run it as a movie server, or Apple had Front Row, which would enable you
You can't say the F word on this show, mate. You do not use the F word on this show.
Front Row?
Yes, don't use it again. You do not use that word on this show. Are we clear? I've got to bleep that now.
I said Front Row.
Yes, I know. And that's the F word on this show. I'm sorry, confused. Mate. That was an interface invented by the devil himself. you are talking about something which was the most horrific ergonomic balls up that ever existed on a computer. No wraparound menus. A menu that meant that you couldn't select by alphabet. You had to go through every single frigging film you had to get to W. And you couldn't go from A backwards to W. You had to go from A through all 26 letters for the 600 films that you had to get to the one with W on it.
Mate.
It was a dog's dinner of an OS, of an interface, mate.
You had 600 films back in those days.
I did.
Your hard drive must have cost a fortune.
I did. I had a massive hard drive compared to, and I'd ripped every DVD I'd got onto it, mate.
You pirate.
No, I bought them all. They're all in cases in the loft, so I don't feel too bad. Although technically it's illegal, I do agree. Muller Biker, you are not going to be here for the big show. You are going to be in the skip up the way if you keep putting crap like that. I liked Front Row.
Ewan, you can't say that word.
Sorry, yes, but then again, you are mentally deficient. So I shouldn't take the piss out of the afflicted.
I agree, I've met him.
I'm sorry, there is no way you're going to convince me that Front Row was not the most abominable thing that's ever been on a computer.
Okay. So there's that young
the only thing that would have made it even more of what it was if you're flipping through your movies And Clippy pops up and says, "Hey, I think you're looking for a movie. Want some help?"
Yeah, that was it. And when you put in, "Yeah, I want We Were Soldiers," he goes, just keep scrolling. Scrolling. That would have been it. Windrider's a bit embarrassed because before he realized that Will was taking the piss, he put, "Yeah, I liked Front Row too." So he's now outed himself. Welcome out of the closet there, mate. But God.
Okay. God. So yes, the norm is £1,000 for an iPhone. We never thought we'd be there. We're there now. And now a standard entry-level Mac is going to cost you £800.
But it's not entry-level anymore. I think we all agreed on that. But going back to Nishi's point in his tweet to me, he was saying about, you need to talk about the increase. It's a 60% increase in price. Yes, it is, but it's a lot more than a 60% increase in computer there. I don't have a problem kind of justifying that the price is probably actually pretty good. Excuse me, for the spec of the machine. People are upset, though, because the entry level is gone. That's all. Next thing to talk about, then, iPad Pro. We have got a massive price increase in that. There is also a big spec bump as well as, excuse me, but new iPad Pro discuss.
Who has theirs? I waited like a day, and unfortunately that put me at the end of November.
No.
Steve, I went into the Boulder Apple store yesterday just to look. And
they told him he couldn't look till the end of the month.
Yeah, and what ended up happening was I looked and I was like,
let's go to the main.
So do you have 512 Wi-Fi space gray 12.9 inch in stock? And they're like, yeah. Okay, I'll take one. So I walked out with the new iPad Pro, 12.9 inch, the new Apple Pencil, and the keyboard folio cover.
Huh. I may have
to. Someone's got a bit of a new. So how much is Smile paying you then, Jeffrey? Or is that all on expenses?
Let's just say my credit card is not happy with me right now.
Oh, okay. You haven't put it on
also,
expenses.
Also, I didn't buy a new iPhone this year. And I the last time I bought a new Mac was in 2016. So I haven't done a big Apple purchase for a while.
Yeah.
But £200 for that keyboard there, Jeff, is it worth it? Is that keyboard worth £200?
Considering how much I will use this, yes. Okay. The keyboard feels nice. The whole cover is much nicer than the smart keyboard cover from the previous generation iPads. And as long as it doesn't start falling apart, which my other one never did, and I used the crap out of that thing. I will definitely get $200 use out of this and much more before I end up retiring this, whenever that is, a few years from now.
Do you not think you were tempted though to wait for what third party might have to offer, Jeff? Because I mean, I haven't gone to France last week. I haven't charged my Apple Pencil for quite a while, and it's got no charge in it at all now. And I may have even damaged the battery. I think I use it so little, and I used it quite a lot to begin with, but I just don't use it in the same way anymore. And I took my case that holds the Apple Pencil, I took it off and I put the original Logitech one that I bought with the iPad Pro in, where you stand it up and it works straight away. And I loved the keyboard on that. And I took that around, and I've got to say, I've fallen in love with that again. And that was, I mean, I think that was £60, £69 when I bought it with the original. It was way cheaper than the Apple version, and it was way better than the Apple Folio keyboard.
I have one of those Logitech keyboards stuck away somewhere.
And they're brilliant.
And it just didn't do it for me. I get a lot of people love the keyboard.
No, my point's not whether you like that keyboard or not. My point is, why aren't you waiting for the third-party vendors to come out with something? Because a lot of the time, they can do it an awful lot better.
Well, they needed to do it an awful lot better yesterday.
Okay.
Because this is a production machine for me. And I need to be able to type on a physical keyboard today. So waiting just wasn't an option.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
So Jeff, can you tell us about the speakers to start off with on that iPad? What's that like? Because they've been re-engineered and they're brilliant.
I haven't had a lot of time to like really push the new iPad yet. The sound is nice, but I haven't like watched movies with it yet to see how it compares. But I felt like when I first started playing anything on it, that it was clearer and that it felt like there was a wider range.
But the old iPad Pro speakers were incredibly good.
Yeah.
Great.
I mean, if the speakers in this are at least as good as the speakers in my first gen iPad Pro, I'm happy. But they have the subwoofers. So, the subwoofer tweeter mix at each corner. So it does feel just initially like there is a better dynamic range. But like I said, I haven't had a chance to really test that yet.
Jeff, I'm kind of curious because, all along I've been hoping and praying that I could use an iPad Pro as a laptop replacement. And I've always found there's usually like one little use case that I can't accomplish on an iPad Pro. And even though I am getting the new 12.9 when it comes out, or wait, it is out. Never mind. But anyway, I'm getting it whenever I can. I just, I'm still wondering, do you think, at least for you, that it is really a laptop replacement for you?
My first gen iPad Pro was this close to being a full-on laptop replacement for me. But that's because of the improvements to iOS over the years.
Okay.
This one, I feel like at least today, with less than 24 hours time to play with this, that I'm still probably at that. I'm this close. But the thing for me is that since I podcast, if I'm recording shows where I have multiple sources coming in.
Yeah.
You can do that on an iPad, but God, what a pain. So this is still not for me a podcasting machine, but I can see where if I'm going to a conference and I know I don't need to actually produce a podcast myself, I will probably now travel with just the iPad Pro.
Interesting. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, I'll gladly, I took the iPad Pro away with me. I didn't take a laptop or anything, and I existed just checking emails and typing stuff that I wanted to do in general was okay. I can live with an iPad on the road for a couple of days. I can't edit on it. I'm not going to do movies on it. I'm not going to do photo editing on it. I don't enjoy it for that, and I don't find the software intuitive. So I just wouldn't do it. But as an email and browsing and day-to-day work machine just to get me through a period on the road, I think, yeah, it's fine. It's already at that stage. Pencil I don't use anymore. I really love the pencil to start with, but I don't know why I don't use it anymore. I used to get a lot from it. I think the charging it has become a pain in the ass. That's the real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I took a photo of my first gen and my third gen sitting side by side on my table yesterday evening with their respective Apple Pencils charging. And it's a photo that I think Apple should be embarrassed of, because when you look at the charging for the previous iPads with Apple Pencil, I mean, it's always looked ridiculous, but when you see that sitting next to the third gen iPad Pro, I mean, it is just flat out ridiculous.
I think we'll look at it at that time the Apple, introduced the hockey puck mouse. It'd be one of those moments you go, Jesus Christ, that was awful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's one of those design ideas where you went, I'm sure the mouse being charged on its back is one of those design things which you think is mental as well. But yeah, the Apple Pencil charging it is bit of a nightmare, that's a second generation one.
There's a great point here from Winrider that I think we've all missed, fellas. The Apple Pencil is relatively cheap. It's just the charger that you need for it is £2,000.
I'm just wondering how many people with the first generation Apple Pencil lost the cap.
Hands up.
I did not lose my cap, and honestly, I am so surprised. I figured I would have lost it like immediately.
No, I lost the charger bit. I don't know where my charger bit is that let you put a lightning onto it.
I just can't find the cap.
Yeah, because it's still in a box. Yeah.
The charger adapter and the extra pencil tip that the first gen ships with.
Still in the box.
Yes. If I could find the box, then I'd have those parts. The new Apple Pencil does not come with a second tip.
Interesting.
Oh.
Well, no, because you never wore through the first one before they obsoleted it.
Yeah, that's true. I never had any reason to change out the tip.
Now, here's my problem with the iPad Pro and the new Pencil. I don't have a problem with it being a new iPad Pro. I don't have a problem with it being really expensive if it's really functional. That's not a problem. What I've got a problem with is the fact that they've gone to USB-C, which has obsoleted all of the dongles that everyone's ever bought for their iPad Pro to use it to do presentations and that kind of stuff. They've obsoleted the Pencil. Now, I didn't buy my Pencil immediately. I had to wait 6 weeks because they were out of stock. But my Pencil is still in warranty, effectively. Mm. It's a two-year warranty here in the EU. My Pencil is still in warranty, and it's obsolete. It's an obsolete device. My iPad...
Well, it's obsolete only if you're buying a new iPad Pro. But no, yes, yeah, no. I get exactly what you're saying.
No, because eventually there'll be an iOS upgrade that means it won't even work with my current iPad Pro. So, I'm sorry, that if you've gone past it and taken it away from the current device, it's now obsolete. It's in a latency. Okay, it's what's the word I'm looking for? Not redundancy. What's the one? Obsolescence. It's begun the process of obsolescence. So it's obsolete as far as I'm concerned. You've also then got all the peripherals that used to work and charge, like the Logitech keyboard. That doesn't work with the new iPad 2, so that's now gone. And what I've got a real problem with, and I really do have a problem with this, is Apple standing up and saying that they're an environmentally aware company when they've just landfilled my Pencil and it's not even out of warranty. They've landfilled all the peripherals that I've got for the iPad to go to the new one, and the new one doesn't allow me to use the old Pencil, and the new Pencil doesn't work on the old iPad. And I'm sorry, you can't stand up and say that you're an environmentally conscious firm and do that kind of action, because I don't believe for one second that there isn't a need that you can't just put a few lines of code in and the old Pencil will work with the new computer. I'm not having it.
You can take your old Apple Pencil, bring it to an Apple store, get nothing for it, and I'm sure they'll recycle it for you.
That's not an environment. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, nice try, Steve. Thanks, man.
You know, when I brought my bag of stuff home, I was thinking, you know, I wish I could have used my original Apple Pencil with this, because that would have saved me $129. But at the same time, I've always hated the way I have to charge it. So, okay, that is what it is. And I was thinking, ah, crap, now what am I going to do about all the dongles, because I need to plug this into all kinds of other stuff. Yeah. And then it occurred to me, holy crap, I've already got all the other dongles because I bought a Touch Bar MacBook Pro 2 years ago and had to buy all my USB-C dongles. I now have a single set of dongles for everything.
Well, I don't.
And you don't, but I do. So for me, the transition is actually really nice because I've already got all the dongles in place.
I've got a single set of dongles for Lightning.
I've got all this USB stuff. USB-C stuff, and it just works with the new iPad. So for me, that actually worked out nice. One thing I haven't tried, and because I haven't had time to go on Amazon and pick one out, I want to get one of the USB-C to Lightning adapters and plug that in and see if the Lightning stuff that I have for my old iPad Pro actually does work. Because if that's the case, then for like, I don't know, like $10 or $15, all your old dongles will still work.
But the point still remains, Jeff, that all of your lighting equipment is now landfill, and you're going to go and buy another dongle to see if you can make it not landfill.
It's all going to go with the old iPad when I sell it or give it away to someone. So it will stay out of the landfill for a while, but I totally get what you're saying. It's like every time we buy a new thing, we end up in the position where it's all new dongles.
It is disingenuous for Apple to talk about how great they are at environment and they power all their facilities on solar or renewable energies and then do that what they've just done with a device that is not even out of warranty. You look at what they did with the watch.
That would definitely sting.
The watch, my £600 watch is 3 years old and it's obsolete. It will not talk to the current iOS. It is obsolete. It no longer the watch I bought no longer tells the time.
So you have the Siri Zero?
Yeah.
Yeah, that hurts.
That's a kick in the balls, man. Oh, yeah,
no more updates for that.
It'd be kick in the balls if you bought a £28,000 version.
Was it? A £10,000 version.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but dickheads who paid for that don't care about money, so. Angela Aramis bought all of those and then got a refund on them just to make the sales figures look good. I'm sure of it. what else was released? Is that it? Have we covered all the releases?
As an ex Apple employee, a big part of it was about the Apple stores.
I
didn't watch the keynote yet, so I still haven't watched the keynote, so I can't tell you. I need to, but I haven't had time.
Yes, Angela had her day in the sun there and really talked about some of the new whatever they call them, flagship stores. Jeff and I are still waiting for a flagship store in the Denver Boulder area.
Uh-huh.
Isn't here yet, but I know a perfect location for it, Jeff.
Yeah.
Well, they're closing the whatever it was, Sears, at the streets at South Glen, which is just a beautiful place, and it had the shitty, just horrible Sears store stuck on one end. And so they can tear that down and put in a beautiful Apple flagship store.
I am with you. I can picture it. That would be a nice place for one.
Yeah, and then they'll close two other Apple stores, Aspen Grove and Park Meadows, and it'll just be wonderful.
That would suck, but I could totally see them closing Aspen Grove.
Yeah. Too small.
That was our first Apple store here. I stood in line at that store for so many products.
Me too. In fact, I think we stood in line together sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that was good times.
Ah, the old days, back when we were kids.
Yeah.
Well, both Jim and I have worked for Apple, and their retail stores are they're sort of packaging now as a product in themselves, aren't they? It's the announcement was not just about this is a store that we're going to sell stuff from. This is like a product in itself.
Yeah, the Today at Apple was their big push, and I think they did a really good job at trying to tell people, look, you know, if you want to see this stuff work and come on in, it's free. You know, yes, you bought our amazing product, but come on in and we'll show you how to get the most out of it. I've got a friend who's actually been working on the house here this week, and he's really just the most amazing artist. And honestly, I wish I'd bought some artwork to show you. He's just incredible, and he's just blown away by what I've been able to demonstrate, using the showing off the new iPad and things like that. So we've got a trip arranged to go to Birmingham so we could show him, and we've booked in on a sketch and draw session, which is only half an hour, but it's going to be at the Apple Store in Birmingham. And I thought it's great that I can take him. He's never had an Apple product before, but I'm going to take him to Apple Store. We're going to get some hands on with the new iPad Pro, and we're going to sit in on one of those great workshops. I don't know who's doing it, but it's about 2:30. And I think that's a great thing to be able to show people that they can actually go to an Apple Store and learn, you know, from the guys who know it inside out.
Big question.
Yeah, that is cool. I need to go take absolutely one of those classes just to see what they're like.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just curious if they'd be able to teach somebody who, you know, has the drawing skills of a, you know, 2-year-old how to sketch and draw there. It would be a
How often do you practice, Steve?
I don't.
Right. That's like that's sitting down problem in front of a piano and going, oh, I can't play. I'm going to give up.
Yeah.
Yep. That's all it is, mate. No, it's true. It is. That's exactly what it's like.
My guitar playing. I don't even have a guitar, so.
Yeah, exactly that. This podcast and all this is brought to you by TSO Host. They are absolutely brilliant. We'd be lost without them. And we couldn't do the shows. Simple as that. Last week, they got an awful lot of love on Twitter. Thank you to everybody who sent out a tweet. That is all they want from us. They need you guys out there giving recognition to them, saying thanks for supporting British Tech. That's who we are. Sorry, I forgot who we were there for a minute. Stroke. So, yeah, please get out there and say thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech, because we couldn't do this show without them. We wouldn't have the server space. We wouldn't have any of the online stuff that we really need from them. It's absolutely brilliant. And also the same goes for Telestream. Thanks at Telestream for the use of the Wirecast system. I've learned to use it this week because I got a new update. I put my Harvey on the main machine. Of course, I need to update everything, which I did. And I thought, this is ridiculous. I've got to learn how to use it. So I've learned how to edit shots without actually showing them being edited. And you haven't seen it today, have you? Not at all. See? There we go.
One edit.
So please nicely thank done them as well. And also thanks to Hoyer. They're superb. I'm seeing Mark next week, I hope, on Tuesday. Getting the unique who's bent at the back because they're still not quite comfy enough yet. But the rest of it's fine. The front's great. It's just the back end here. They slip forwards. So I'm going to see him and get that sorted, and they'll look absolutely gorgeous. Right, time for the cool things. Start us off, although I dread to think, Mr. Green.
Well, I haven't got a lot, actually.
Okay.
Except, this week, I got a new iPhone, which is possibly the first iPhone I've had that is sort of still current. It's the iPhone 7, and I'm absolutely loving it. So I've been using sort of an iPhone 5C for, well, quite a few years now, and it's like this magical wonderland of new experience, and it's brilliant. So voice memos I'm particularly enjoying that sync between my Mac and back again, so it's great.
Excellent, mate. The iPhone 7 is an absolutely cracking phone. It's still standing the test of time, definitely. Mm-hmm. As you say, it's still current. There's no question about that.
Yeah, I love it. Brilliant.
It's a great phone.
Superb, mate. Excellent pick, I would have to say, Grinny. Well done, mate.
Thank you.
Next, Jeff, what have you got for us?
Well, I guess it's only appropriate my pick is an iPad Pro.
So. Oh, you haven't had it for a week. No. You had it yesterday.
No, I haven't even had it for 24 hours.
You haven't tested the sound system?
Yeah, but it's still already awesome. So, yeah, there you go. And the Apple Pencil sticks to it very nicely. So I'm thinking when I throw this in my bag,
it's going to come off.
Yeah, well, we're going to see. But it holds pretty tight. So we'll see how well it sticks in my bag. And apparently I only have a 28% charge on my Apple Pencil right now, which I find fascinating because I haven't actually used it since yesterday evening. So it's just been stuck on the side of my iPad all that time. Well, we'll see how well that Apple Pencil battery really works, won't we?
Yeah, is the battery life extension on the Pencil, does it last longer? The other one's great, but...
Yeah, I'll let you know. Mm. But I do find it interesting that this Apple Pencil has been stuck to the side of my iPad all night long, and it has a 28% charge. That's kind of weird.
Awesome.
Ooh. Yeah. Still, the new iPad feels really nice, and I like that I get the same size screen, but a smaller body and less weight. So that's going to be nice in my bag.
Excellent, mate. Steve, what are you first?
I actually have a cool thing that is really cool. And there's only one problem. The rest of you will have to wait until next month to get it. But it is, and let me, there we go. It's on Indiegogo right now. It's from a company called Vinpak, and it is a 15-inch touchscreen monitor, USB-C, that connects up to, at least right now, I know I can connect it to my MacBook Pro. I checked with the team at Vinpak to see if they can connect it up to an iPad Pro. And they don't know yet, so there's questions about it. Interesting thing, you can take one or two of these, connect them to a MacBook Pro or MacBook. Works with any laptop that's got a Type-C or mini HDMI connection. They said it also works with PS4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch. Flexible viewing angle, all sorts of fun stuff there. You know, it's not the highest resolution screen, 15.6 inches, but, you know, if you want a second screen that you can throw in the bag with your MacBook or MacBook Pro or MacBook Air, it's a pretty cool little device. The screen looks pretty good. Like I said, it's not the best highest resolution. 1080p is as good as it gets, but it is pretty darn cool.
You can link it to your PS4 and use it as a monitor, so you just take your PS4 away and stick that on, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's correct.
Nintendo Switch as well. Yeah. The interesting thing is it says at the start of the Indiegogo page, turn your phone into a computer, but it's very specific that it mentions it's an Android phone only. Yeah, that's interesting.
Interesting.
As soon as I thought, well, it must do because it's got phone written here, and then it clocked, no, it's Android. Oh. That's really good. $1,282 on Indiegogo, so it's not cheap either.
What? No, it's $129.
Oh, sorry.
$199, excuse me.
Oh, it's $199. And it's not $1,200. That's $1.2 million already raised. God, I hate dyslexia.
Yeah, they've raised a little bit of money on this thing. But,
they've not done that.
It's pretty cool.
But it's definitely shipping next month, is it?
Yes, it is. I mean, if I've got one in my hands already, I'd say they're probably going to ship next month.
A regular price is $399 allegedly, but you can get the early bird for $199. There's 84 left, which is kind
go
of cool.
Go for it.
What's tempting.
It is
so tempting.
If it did it with the iPad and the phone, I might be tempted. But and there's a mounting clip that you get with it for $9. And
yeah,
a magnetic stand for $20.
A clip that's actually made by another company, but I think in the best Chinese tradition, I think somebody's replicated it.
It's interesting. They've got this on a MacBook Pro, and it's driving two screens as well. I wouldn't have thought the MacBook Pro was able to do that. But
yeah, I think if I was 10-1 Design, the folks who make this thing, the Mountie, well, this is a Mountie Plus, but I'd be a little upset that somebody's selling something that looks identical to their first generation unit.
Hmm. Okay. Good pick, though. Very good pick. Excellent. James, what do you have for us?
Oh, good. Glad you asked. So as you guys know, I had a half stack last year, and I've just gone through all my Echo scans this month. And it's all come out really good. Honestly, I'm really pleased with kind of the fitness and stuff. It's actually all going marvelously. But one thing I've always trying to get back into is obviously moving more. And it's something that I think probably all guilty of. We can probably all go and do a little bit more. But like most things, when you download an app, you know, you have to kind of, right, I'm going to go for a walk now. So you open the app up and you log in and you press start. And then you might forget to press stop or all those sort of things. And, you know, something like Nike Plus can be a bit daunting if you're new to this sort of stuff. So what it is, I went on the British Heart Foundation, which is a really cool website that everybody should probably visit. And it's got like recipes and stuff on there. But one thing it has got is good recommended apps. You know, if you're recovering from a heart attack or you're looking to lose weight to, you know, not have a hard stack is obviously the best thing, is don't have one. And one of the apps they recommended was Human. So I'll put the link into the thing. It's called human.co. And it's really, really simple, but really nicely implemented, I think. And I've been using it for about a week. And it's that good that my brother and sister-in-law were about to buy a Fitbit. And I showed them this, and they went, that's it. We don't need to buy it. This app does everything. And it's beautiful, its interface. Obviously, it's iPhone and Android, which is pretty cool. And all you got to do is just keep your phone on you. And it's going to obviously take stuff that which is already in Healthbook and move it into a beautiful graphic interface onto your phone. It is brilliant. And it basically is there to encourage you to move at least 30 minutes a day. So again, if you're not a very active person, you do spend most of the time or have a sedentary job, it's going to track your progress just in your pocket. Now, what's really cool is I've been testing it for a week, and it's pretty much bang on. I've only had to tell it a few times that I'm not riding my bike, as it does have a tendency to think that if you're moving quite quickly, that you might be on your bike. And what's really good is it breaks your day up into a really nice scrollable action. So if you have been out for a brisk walk, for example, and it mistakenly thinks it's a bike ride, you can click onto it and just say, actually, this was a bike ride, and it'll start to actually get it right for you. What's also good is, as I said before, that my brother and sister-in-law were on about buying Fitbits, is the fact you can create a group and actually just invite your friends to it. So you can create your own group, and then you just press add. It creates a specific URL, which everybody can then join to, and then you can monitor each other's sort of activity. So it's a bit of fun if you want to sort of go off on with your friend and sort of give yourself goals and things. Cool. It's got that in there as well. And it's free. All that sounds really good, but it's actually free, which I think is great. So with a great interface, a great sort of thing to get you motivated, human.co, take a look. It's going to cost you nothing.
Excellent. Good stuff.
Excellent.
Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Green?
Oh, well, yes. BritishMac.com.
Is there another podcast you're out soon? Or?
Yes, there is. I thought on the 11th. I always like to do to sort of pay my respects to coming from a sort of army family to all those brave soldiers who lost their lives for our liberty. So I thought on the 11th of the 11th there'll be one.
Excellent, mate.
Lovely.
Will it be released at 11 o'clock?
If you look back, I try and time them as best as I can. So they're exactly 1 hour, 11 minutes and 11 seconds long. It's a bit of a struggle to get it. But most times I do it. And also I change the badge to have a poppy in there as well. I'm a great supporter. My father was an officer. My grandfather was an officer. My cousin's an officer, so I don't know. It's been not so exactly drilled into me, but I show the greatest respect for all of the men and women who laid their life to protect us, liberty from
indeed horses, my friend, horses too.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
all those things.
Well,
right?
It's all wars, isn't it? It's not just. One and two as well.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Well done. Jeffrey, where will you be?
You can find me now over at smilesoftware.com or textexpander.com and Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamet, and I'm just as easy to find as I've always been.
Excellent, mate. Great to have you on. Thank you very much, and good to have you on a regular on the Mac Show now.
It's going to be lots of fun.
Are you coming on big later as well?
It's on my schedule.
Awesome. Jeffrey, double helping of Jeffrey.
Yeah, this is like a podcast all day for me today.
It's like getting treacle sponge pudding twice. Where were you? I was going to say Spotted Dick, but no, I better not. Where will you be, Steve Sandy?
You can find me pretty much every day at appleworld.today. I also do writing for Mac Sales, and you can find me at blog.maxsales.com over there.
Excellent, mate. I was thinking of Spotted Dick and Cream, but that's a definite no. And where will you be, James?
Hello, yes. You can find me at James Rickards. That's R-I-C-K-A-R-D-S on Twitter. So at James Rickards on Twitter. I've got a deal coming up on iDiscover, my motion graphics tutorial stuff for Christmas. So if you think about it, hold off for a little bit. I'm working on a new deal for you guys, and I hope it's going to be sparkly and lovely and encourage you to learn more.
Even better than the BTN Rocks code.
It's going to be even better, but just be for you guys as well. So I'm going to work out a special code for you just for Christmas. Brilliant. So stay tuned. Thank you.
BTN really rocks.
BTN Christmas rocks.
Mine is Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech as well as, and we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the usual stuff. So have a good time. Max Show will be back on Friday next week. We've pulled it forwards because I've got to go to a show tomorrow night and film it. So we'll see you all Friday next week for the Max Show if you want to watch live. Back for the big show at 8 o'clock. We're going for a curry first. Have a great evening. See you then.